This time we'll now turn to Mark, the book of Mark, and read from Mark chapter 6. We'll begin the scripture reading at verse 1, and then read all the way through verse 32. The text for the sermon will be verses 30, 31, and 32. There we read this word of God, beginning at Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country. And his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joses, and of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. And he called unto the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, and anointed oil with many that were sick, and healed them. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said, This is Elias, and others said, This, that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him. But she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee, when the daughter of the said Herodias came in, and danced, and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king, and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Now the words of our text. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. May the Lord bless us in the reading of his word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, according to all that Jesus called his disciples to do, all that he calls office bearers in the church to do, and particularly ministers of the gospel to do, according to what he says to his apostles in verses 7 through 11 regarding how they must do their work preaching the gospel. And according to all that God calls us as believers in the office of believer, wherein we must confess the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by word and example and deed. Our text brings to mind the question, who is sufficient for these things? The insufficiency for the apostles of office bearers in the church, and particularly laborers in the harvest, would be made plain to them. Even the fact that Jesus had 12 apostles showed plainly that the work of the kingdom in this life, preaching the truth of the kingdom of heaven, issuing the call to repent and believe, with the authority of the King of the church, Jesus Christ, was something that one man himself and all by himself could not do. Many laborers are needed for the work. However, the Lord also, in the light of our text, teaches the insufficiency of each office bearer and each believer in the office of believer, him or herself. What believer, what child of God can of himself, of his own strength, confess the truth and the doctrine of Jesus Christ by word and example? At the highest level of integrity, faithfulness, honesty, consistency, being unashamed before the wicked, before unbelievers, the highest levels of devotion to Christ, wisdom, tactfulness, resilience in the face of opposition or disappointment, the highest levels of ambition and zeal for the sake of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to do that in the specific places God puts us in life, in our different stations and callings, whether it's in the home, the school, the church, or places of employment, wherever that may be in this life, as God has so sovereignly planned. Who? An answer to that question, and in the midst of all of the demands of our labors in the service of God's kingdom in this life, whether it's in the church or in the home, in the school, on the job, wherever it may be, We need to hear the command of Christ. Come ye apart yourselves into a desert place and rest a while with me. There in spiritual communion with Jesus Christ in His Word, there we learn by faith the reality of our limitations. We learn that the only source of our spiritual strength and physical strength too, to do our work, is from Him, our Heavenly Father, for Jesus' sake. There we learn the true foundation of our confidence in our labors in the service of God's kingdom. There we learn the only possibility for faithful service day by day. And the assurance that our labor in the service of God's kingdom will not be in vain. There we receive the blessed benefits of communion with the Lord for our encouragement to be faithful. Call your attention then to the text under the theme, Come Ye and Rest a While. Notice the rest needed, the reason given, and the results enjoyed. According to verse 31, Jesus commanded His disciples to come apart into a desert place and rest. What had just happened, chronologically, was that the disciples had returned from their preaching tour in Galilee. Although little is recorded about what they said to Jesus, yet we can imagine and understand that their report to Jesus was extensive and thorough. They had gone out as Jesus commanded. Don't go with any food in your purse or your pockets. Don't take any money with you. Don't take two pairs of shoes, just the ones that are on your feet. Don't bring an extra walking stick or an extra coat. You bring the word which I have taught you to teach and to preach. Call whomever you meet or in whichever house you go, call them to repent from their sin and to believe in the hope of the gospel in me. And while you're there, those homes will feed you. If you get a hole in your coat, they'll repair it. If your walking stick breaks, they will replace it. They will show their thanksgiving to me by supporting you in your work. And so they went and preached that men should repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. And the King of the kingdom is here. We have seen Him. And we declare Him unto you. Repent and believe in the promise of the remission of sins in Him. Receive in Him the true rest from the toil of this life. And they reported that they had done so. And to confirm their faithful preaching, they also reported that they had healed the sick and cast out even devils from those who were possessed with those devils. They anointed many with olive oil, and it resulted in the miracle of their healing as a sign of what the great physician, our Lord Jesus Christ, does to us in our hearts, giving us that new heart, that new life, new eyesight, the new hearing, the new lungs to breathe with the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, that living air of His kingdom, and to rejoice therein. And they reported how the households had received them. Some had rejected them, which when that happened, they had to go out of the house, shake the dust off their sandals, and then leave and go to the next family in one of the villages in Galilee as a sign of God's judgment on the unbelief of that home. Into others they were received, where they taught the parents and the children the word of God as Jesus had commanded them. And there they were cared for and thanksgiving to the Lord. That report of the disciples to Jesus implied, first of all, they understood their relationship to Him. Jesus is the King of the church. He is the chief prophet and teacher. We are not the Lord of the harvest. We are only His servants. We are to send forth the word, and the results of what we have done depend on Him. He determines the harvest. He determines and brings to pass the results. The success of their labors they understood in the gathering of God's people to Jesus Christ depended upon the Lord to whom they report. Secondly, implied here is that the Lord approved their labors. He does not rebuke them, but receives them with approval, except, of course, for Judas Iscariot, whom he understood was the betrayer, the son of perdition, he would call him later. Thirdly, implied in their report is also their joy in what they had done. This comes out in the parallel passage in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, or not the parallel passage, another occasion where Jesus sent out the 70 two by two, and when the 70 returned, they came again to Jesus with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Similarly, the apostles returned to the Lord, rejoicing that they had seen the evidence that the kingdom of heaven is at hand in the defeat of the kingdom of darkness and the removal of the devils from God's people so that they might know and confess the Lord and walk with Him according to His commandments. They rejoiced in that the households in Galilee received them. They repented at the word that they preached and believed that Jesus indeed had come. All of that reporting is completed. Jesus said to them, He did not say, well, let's go out again. Hurry. Christ responded with great calm and with a purpose, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Yes, Jesus commanded them to come apart. Apostles, lay down your labors. Lay down your preaching and teaching labors. Disconnect from those labors. Disconnect from the multitude that's following us. Come apart. That seems rather strange. Why would not Jesus want them to continue to preach? The Lord says, no, come apart. And then secondly, separate yourselves then physically and go to a desert place. And Jesus commanded them to go there, not because there was some kind of resort alongside the Sea of Galilee. Go to a desert place, a place of isolation on the opposite side of the Sea of Galilee where you can be physically separated from the multitudes, so that thirdly, there you may rest a while. There you may cease from preaching, cease from praying publicly, cease from listening and responding to the cries of the people in their devil possession or their terrible diseases with which they were wrestling. And rest your mind, your soul, also your bodies, from that demanding work. There, compare your experiences, both the difficulties and the joys. There they could ask questions of the Lord and receive answers and maybe even have some of their ideas corrected or could be convinced and persuaded that of things perhaps they were not sure about regarding Jesus as the fulfillment of certain things in the Old Testament. There they could rest and meditation upon the word and the work that they were called to do in the service of the word of Jesus Christ. And although it is not stated, it's implied in verse 31, rest a while, Jesus commands, with me. Jesus is not calling them to mere leisure rest like a vacation, although we must say that bodily exercise profits little, there is some profit to it, so also is that true for physical rest, a vacation. But what Jesus emphasizes and has in mind here is spiritual rest for their hearts, their minds, their souls. The physical separation into the desert place gave them as creatures, mere humans, the opportunity for that spiritual rest, for that spiritual reflection on what had just happened as they went out and preached the call to repent and believe, and what had just happened when they called devils out of people or healed the sick. What was going on here? They had to understand, they had to think on these things and focus with Jesus as the word that goes forth through them and in all of their labors to focus on him, the rest giver. They needed to be in rest with the rest giver. As Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. After all of their busy labors, there they could receive spiritual rest for their souls, which included forgiveness for their sins, for whatever imperfections had polluted even their best work as they went out preaching among the households there in Galilee. Forgiveness for saying things that were erroneous or thinking things which were selfish and self-gratifying, or perhaps thinking, well, look at me, look at these great miracles which I have done. In rest with the Lord, they could be refocused on, no, you're only a servant to do these things for his glory, not yours. They're being corrected, they may also be forgiven for those sorts of errors. They're in rest, being corrected, refocused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they could return into their labors with the proper aim, the proper attitudes, a Christ-centered motive, an accurate expectation of what their labors would do and what the results of those labors would be according to the will of the Lord. They could return then into their labors with a proper understanding of their work as ministers of the Lord, who is the chief prophet and teacher. And they could go into that work knowing Jesus as the finished rest, the one who would die and accomplish that rest in his death and establish the complete victory for the kingdom, and might go forth in that confidence of that Jesus who is the Christ, the Son of the living God, in whom are the words of eternal life. Similarly, beloved, the Lord also commands you and me to come apart and rest a while with him. We must, because we are only mere creatures and his servants in his kingdom, in whatever aspect in life you and I may be. He has put us in our unique circumstances in life at our particular times in history. He sets you in your station and calling in life, whatever that may be. There he calls you to much, much labor. In all of the midst of those labors, we must rest with Him. Indeed, the Lord has called us to much work. As husbands, we must, as prophets of our Lord Jesus Christ, confess His name. Show in word and deed, as leaders in our homes, the word of Jesus Christ. Show that this word of Christ rules our homes. This is the word we must understand. On this word we must feed. This word we must obey. As wives, we also must confess the name of Christ in word and deed while we submit to our husbands in all good and lawful things, showing our faith, showing our embracing of that word of Jesus Christ, as that also governs our particular station and calling in life. We can also speak of parents. As parents, we are called as prophets under our Lord Jesus Christ to teach our children in the fear of God's name. Teach them His word. By word and our example, this is the life. This is the blessed life. On confessing the name of Jesus Christ and walking in His word, we must point them to Him as the wealth of their life, the hope of their life, the comfort of their life, and all the difficulties of the way in which we must walk in this life. We must teach our children, this is the rock, this is the foundation of your life. Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again. Your righteousness before God and your only life with God. We must show them how that word of our Lord Jesus Christ, that molds our attitudes, that directs our decisions in life, and that upholds us every step of the way. So then as youth, under that instruction for all those years, being so trained, we must not depart from those things, but speak what we have heard, and not just say the right things, but with all our heart, believe that truth. And desire to live in and out of that truth of our Lord Jesus Christ as we have been taught from the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto that salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then in all of our employment, various other stations and callings in life, we're called to seek that kingdom of God first. Showing by our attitudes, showing by our work habits on the job, we are submissive to the word of Jesus Christ. He is our Lord, and we serve Him even in these earthly places of employment in this life. We could also go on to speak of all of the specific details of all of the labors that we need to do day after day. All these areas of life in which God has placed us. And before all of those mountains of work that we need to do, Jesus says to us, come ye yourselves apart and rest a while with me. Now it's true, we need a vacation once in a while as families. Not merely for vain carnal pursuits. Spiritually, our purpose ought to be rejuvenated for faithful service in our stations and callings in life, in pursuit of the kingdom. But what Jesus does teach means, clearly, we need, at regular times during the week, during the day, in the midst of all of our labors, personal devotions with Him, with our Heavenly Father, where we may focus on Jesus Christ, our rest giver, there to enjoy spiritual rest, the finished rest, the finished work of what he has established in his death and resurrection for us, before we go out into the work of this life, which needs to be finished. We need that regular time with him to mold our attitudes, to set us on that foundation, in that position of strength with him, then to go out to take care of the children, to do the laundry, to cook, to clean, to go out to the job, do whatever it takes to support the family, to teach our children, to support our schools, to support the church and the communion of the saints. So that, yes, we need that time of rest with him, especially on the Lord's Day in his house. We need to be separated from all the labors of the week and focused on Jesus Christ. Focused on fellowship with him. Here to have our knowledge and assurance of our salvation sharpened, strengthened, settled in him, settled in his finished work for us. Strengthened in that new life which we have in him. And encouraged to continue all of the labors of this life in the knowledge Christ, by his work, has finished the toil against sin in his perfect rest, in his perfect work for us. That underscores then the need for family devotions, regular times at home with our families, so that we, during the course of the day, have time apart to focus on the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why you children, when you go to school, before you take out your pencils and crayons and papers, whatever it may be, the first thing your teachers do at the beginning of the day is you come apart and rest a while in song, in Bible reading, and prayer with your Lord and your devotions at the beginning and at the end of the day. That's necessary. Jesus teaches, come ye also apart in your work in school and rest a while with me so that you may be refreshed spiritually for the labors God has given you also. This also applies to office bearers in the church. Preachers need to detach from their work and rest a while with the Lord and spiritual focus on him. That's why the apostles in Acts chapter 6 realized that they were overstretched in their work and they understood there must be a third office in the church, deacons to take care of the work of benevolence so that we as ministers might focus on the word and prayer, fellowship with the Lord, so that we may be faithful in this spiritual work of preaching the gospel. This is also required for all of the office bearers in the church in their work, to begin their work by first coming apart and resting with the Lord in devotions. We as office bearers attempt to do the work of the church without that rest, first, then we go into that work thinking we can do this in our own strength. And that's not true. We must detach ourselves briefly from the work and rest a while with the Lord as a council, as a consistory, as a diaconate, as a classis, a synod, various committees that labor in the church. Detach from the work, from the agenda, for just a moment, and rest a while with the Lord in prayer, in his word. It's according to the command of Christ, then, that Reformed churches have, you'd be interested to know, in Article 32 of the Church Order, this stipulated that at the beginning of the meetings, whether it's the classis, the synod, or even a pre-advice committee meeting, the meeting begins by resting with the Lord first. And at the end, too, in prayers of thanksgiving. Why does the Lord require that of us? According to verse 31, we read, "For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." The Lord required this because of the demands of the work upon his apostles. The people were coming and going, we read. They had spiritual needs. They had urgent needs for spiritual instruction, for being healed from their diseases or their devil possession. However, there were so many people coming and going, they had hardly the time to eat. Jesus said, "This ought not to be. This is humanly unsustainable for you as apostles. Not only do you not have time to eat, you didn't have spiritual time to recharge. At a high level of this kind of activity, spiritually, also physically, but spiritually too, you will deteriorate." So the Lord was teaching them, you cannot do the preaching of the gospel for this harvest on your own and in your own strength. You can't bear that burden of sending forth the call to repent and to believe single-handedly. The Lord gives that work to many of his servants. And the example of John the Baptist underscores that the ministry of John the Baptist, you have to realize, was only about 2 years. That's it. That's not very long by what we would consider a lengthy service as a minister of the word or a preacher of the gospel. Only 2 years. Jesus made it clear that there is a great need for many laborers in the harvest. And so the apostles could not do that work on their own and of their own strength. They didn't have the strength to preach 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. Not possible. Jesus reminds them, you are like a cup that gets filled up and then gets poured out and then needs to be filled up again. But it takes time and a proper place to be filled up. Similarly, we too must have that rest for that good reason. All of the demanding labors that we have in our homes, in the church, in our employment, sometimes we're weary to the bone. We need regular spiritual rest with the Lord. Because there we understand, there we confess our limitations. It's true, is it not, that sometimes we can fall into the temptation where we begin to think of ourselves that, well, the coming of the kingdom and the church or perhaps our family, well, that depends on me. Depends on my ability. If I'm not around, this is all going to fall apart. And we become so busy in that kind of thinking that very soon we burn out, completely exhausted, having forgotten our limitations, perhaps even becoming frustrated that no one else has the same kind of zeal that we might have. We don't know how to work within our limitations and flourish therein at times. By regular, brief detachment from the labors of the day and communion with the Lord, we are confessing to Him, we are dependent on Him for everything, both the physical strength but also the spiritual strength to do these labors with the spiritual attitude, the right goals, the right motives, and by faith in Him. A faith by which we confess that the coming of the kingdom of God in our generations, in our church, mission work, whatever that may be, doesn't depend on these arms of flesh or our minds, but depends entirely upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work and in the power of His Holy Spirit to make that kingdom come as the Father has willed. And it's Christ who governs, Christ who equips, Christ who labors in and through us to fulfill the coming of the seven of His covenant and the fullness of His kingdom. And that's a perfect work of Christ, in principle, finished in His death and resurrection, and must surely come to pass. It's not dependent on you and me. In that brief time of devotion in the morning, before we enter into the labors of the day, we're confessing, Lord, it all depends on Thee. Do what seemeth good in Thine eyes to use me as a servant in Thy kingdom in this area of my labor for Thy glory. Without Christ, you see, we can do nothing. We need Him. Not only to have that rightful place as a servant in His kingdom, but also the life, the virtues, the abilities, the spiritual strength, the faith to serve Him in our place. See, beloved, to use that illustration of a cup, we're not like Christ in an inexhaustible spring of living water, of strength, energy, faithfulness. We're just a cup. We go out into our labors. We're poured out, as it were. We pour out in love and faithfulness our strength. Now the cup is empty. We need to come apart and rest a while so that the Lord may fill us up again with the riches of His mercy so that we can go out again and pour out those contents of the strength which He gives us by His Spirit in His Word. Resting with Him that way, we will do well by His grace. We'll avoid those two challenges which we face in faithful service in His kingdom. Challenge number one is putting off the labors which God gives us. This faithful service will not be lazy, not let others do what we ought to be doing, nor getting involved in things that we ought not to be getting involved in, remaining within the area God has given us. Each of us fulfilling then what we have vowed to do to our children who were baptized, to our husbands and wives to whom we've exchanged vows, to our places in the church as office bearers, wherever else we have made vows and promises to be faithful therein. With the strength of the Lord, then we'll also avoid challenge number two. To do that work, then, not out of custom, not out of a motive of merit, not out of a motive to impress others, but to do it out of a motive of love and thankfulness to Jesus Christ, the rest giver, has given us that life with Him and a place in His kingdom and a place to serve Him and the blessings and the gifts to do that to His glory. To overcome those challenges then, beloved, who has sufficient strength? Do you and I? Do we have the righteousness of ourselves always to do things that are right, not in our eyes, but the Lord's eyes, according to His will, His commandments? Do you and I always have the strength of that holiness to be in perfect devotion to Christ in our work, in the marriage, in the home, in the school, the church, the job, where we volunteer, in the friendship, whatever it may be? Do we always know the truth and are always honest and diligent and faithful before the Lord as His servants? In regular rest before the Lord, We ask God to forgive us for our shortcomings. We don't have that stamina. We don't have the endurance. We don't have the perseverance of ourselves. We need the Lord to forgive and to supply that strength through faith to be His faithful servants. And we receive that through that regular, rehabilitating rest with Him in His Word. For the apostles, that was beneficial. Those were the results which they enjoyed with the Lord in a brief time of fellowship, although it was, as the book of John and other parallel passages teach, very, very brief. That time apart with Him gave them time to be refreshed before they returned to their work, prevented them from quitting and their future labors, doing as they had been taught here in the text, that would prevent them from giving up in the work, which Paul was at one point tempted to do in Corinth, when according to Acts chapter 18, the Lord said, "No, Paul, don't leave the city, don't quit, don't give up. I have many people here, continue here," which he did for many months to follow. In that spiritual rest with Him, not just in the text, but in the rest of their labors, into the book of Acts, it gave them the spiritual endurance to persevere through the imprisonment, through the persecutions, through the stonings, through all of the adversities they would experience and receive, especially at the hands of their persecutors. Think of Paul and Silas. What were they doing at midnight? Still suffering from the stripes on their backs, sitting on the cold floor in the prison. They remembered the word of the Lord, "Come ye apart and rest a while with me." And at midnight, that's what they did. They sang praises unto the Lord. He strengthened them and prepared them for what they had not expected. Suddenly, the Philippian jailer springing into their cell, they preaching to him the word, he being converted before them. Another benefit of that rest with the Lord was that they were reminded of their relationship to Jesus. They had learned Jesus, their Lord, determined where they would preach, where they would go in Galilee, and later in life, where they would go in Asia Minor and Europe. But now they also learn how they must carry out their labors. They must carry out their work in conscious dependence on the Lord and regular rest with Him in His Word. Those are the benefits we also receive in our different places as God's servants in His kingdom. Regular rest with Him sharpens us spiritually for our work. Our eyesight is sharpened, not on all of the work with the little ones, but they're refocused on Christ, the rest giver, which gives us calm in the home with little ones amongst the mayhem that there may be in the home. There's the mother who, having rested with Christ, goes through that mayhem in the calm to lead those little ones as a shepherd in the way they must go, in the way they must learn to behave, also as servants, little servants of Jesus Christ. That regular rest with Christ sharpens our understanding and keeps us set on the things above rather than coveting after the things here below. It keeps us careful to abstain from temptations, the temptations of the world which are manifold at this time in history, to keep ourselves separated from the world and careful to live that new and godly life. And that will also encourage our zeal in the work, remembering that the success or the coming of the kingdom doesn't depend on us. That's in the hands of Christ. Just as it is in us, so it is in them, especially our covenant youth, also depends on the Lord. We are servants to serve Him and the grace which He works in those whom we serve. And then secondly, beloved, not only does that sharpen our perspective on the work we must do, it also gives us that very, very important confidence. It gives us the confidence, the conviction. God establishes His covenant with us and our seed. We labor in this kingdom because of what Christ has finished for us. We go into the work on a sure foundation, a position of strength, all that God calls us to do in this life. And thus we have the confidence that as we seek and serve that heavenly kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, that restful, confident labor in Jesus Christ is not in vain. It can't be, because Christ uses us for the good of His kingdom. Therefore, beloved, so that ye may be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and abounding with the assurance that your labor of love is not in vain, Jesus commands you, come ye yourselves apart into a private place and rest a while with me, saith the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O most merciful and gracious Father in heaven, grant us the strength to know that we cannot go through life on our own. We cannot even take up the labors of this week apart from Thee. Grant us the grace to rest a while with Thee on the Lord's Day, not only in Thy house of worship, but also in devotions throughout the week regularly, confessing thereby that we need to be filled up with the riches of Thy mercy so that we may use them faithfully as we pour out our blood, sweat, and tears in the service of Thy kingdom in this life. Grant us the grace to keep on keeping on in that work faithfully, not giving up in the work, but trusting Thou wilt use us in the service of Thy kingdom, according to Thy will, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of Thy Spirit, with whom Thou hast anointed us, and will do so because Thy mercy and truth shall endure to all generations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.